Welcome to The Scoop, brought to you by Indeed, your weekly dose of internal talent news from here and around the globe. So grab your popcorn and open your mind as I hand you over to our anchors from Tarpod, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Scoop. I'm Craig.
And I'm Lauren. And wow, what a week it has been.
Massive week.
Massive week in news, massive week at the Average Upfront event in Sydney.
Networking and learning.
Well, you learned a lot, Craig.
I did. I learned a hell of a lot. Well, I also learned to pack pants.
That's where I think we need to go. Craig, tell our listeners that little story. That's a freaking good one to start with.
So Lauren and I are on our way up to Sydney for a couple of days and we're on the plane and just as we're, I think, coming into land at Sydney, I went sort of white-faced and Lauren goes, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I forgot to pack pants."
And I thought he meant his undies.
No, I meant proper pants. So we got off, went and checked into the hotel. We had to go out for dinner. So instead of me going straight to dinner, I went via Pitt Street Mall. But prior to that,
better.
I opened my suitcase and I had packed shoes, but they were different pairs, one of each shoe, and they were both left foot shoes.
You had two left feet, no pants, and you're in Sydney for 3 days.
Yeah, so anyway, we sorted that out. So I did learn a lot. I learned how to probably pack better, maybe. And
Craig doesn't function well without his work wife or his real wife in the room. I tell you that for free, Pete. Let's hook into the news. So I'm going to start off with this little snippet. This one came out late last week. And I just went straight to the ABS and grabbed it from the Bureau of Stats. So basically the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell 0.4% from 4.1 to 3.7.
Interesting.
Which is not good for the mortgage holders and everything. Basically it affects the whole economy
It's good for people that didn't have a job though.
It is very good for those who didn't have a job. Not good for the rest of the economy as inflation will remain high and steadily high on the back of those types of numbers. So let's see where we land in the next month or two. But that's just where you're going. So it's gone back down to 3.7.
Oh, there you go, hey, under 4. From the first one I've got was from The Project. Millions of Aussies are looking for a second job as the cost of living bites. So as families try to figure out ways
I think they all just got their second job.
That's why I didn't flow with that. They're finding out ways to stretch the household budget. New stats show that for millions of Aussies, one job just isn't cutting it. For almost 1 million Aussies, they are already working a second job, and for 6.7 million are looking to get a second job. A new survey from Finder reveals a whopping 32% of Aussies are feeling so much financial pressure they need to work a second job. Younger Aussies are feeling the pinch, with 40% of millennials reporting they're in the hunt for a second gig, and more than half of Gen Z staying the same. But there's one demographic doing it the toughest. The gender gap here is cavernous, with nearly twice the number of women feeling a need for a second job compared to men. So do these numbers represent...
You've also got to remember women too make up 69% of the part-time workforce.
Yeah, so and that probably isn't taken into consideration in this stat. So two part-time jobs might be the norm.
Equal to a full.
But, you know, overall, are two or more jobs going to be the norm for people moving forward?
Yeah, it brings into that whole side
hustle, yeah.
Am I going to deliver food? Am I going to be an Uber Eats driver? Mm-hmm. All of those types of things to just get by, because everything is getting more expensive. But I got to say, after spending a few days in Sydney, how the fuck does anyone afford to live there?
Yeah, and if I got a second job up there, it would be someone's personal shopper, because I know all of the deals now in menswear.
Mate, just stick to OnlyFans with your feet.
Well, it's a good second gig.
Now, this one I've been following for a while to see where this lands.
Ooh.
Now, the headline is "New Restrictions Flagged for Non-Compete Clauses." I got this one from Shortlist.
Right.
Now, this has been a bit of a chatter going on for a while, and there's been a paper by Dr. Ian Ross, who was the president of the Fair Work Commission for 10 years. Now, the new paper for the Tax and Transfer Policy Institute that Ross has noted in, it's no longer highly confined to highly paid executives.
Right.
So one in five Australians are now covered on a non-compete clause, but
really?
It's not really. And
well, there goes your second job.
Well, I think some of it too is really just, it's got, it's gotten out of hand. I think some people think it's just a standard thing to put into a goddamn contract nowadays when it's not. So he's gone on to say that it's the non-compete and restraint clauses are common in recruitment, obviously, and also in the bigger groups with the bigger income and more exec-type roles. But they are coming across a lot of different occupational and education groupings as well.
Really?
But in his paper, he's gone Ross concludes that the existing law and practice in respect to the use of non-competes in Australia is manifestly unfair and contrary to the public interest. For many employees, the mere threat of litigation is enough to secure compliance, irrespective of the enforceability of the non-compete.
Mm.
Further, the research literature suggests that non-competes are associated with reduced employee mobility and consequential negative impacts on wage and productivity, which I absolutely 100% agree.
Yeah. Look, there are certain areas where you look at, like, key C-level suite people, you do have to protect some IP there. Some senior sales or maybe some restrictions around what you can do, but not going to a firm. I
totally agree with you. And you can't actually legally stop anyone earning a living in their chosen career. But he's gone on and made some recommendations. And some of these I think are really, really good. Impose a minimum income cap threshold of 100,000K below which non-compete clauses would be unenforceable.
Mm.
Now, that one I agree with. But if it's a heavily sales role, maybe there needs to be something around that. But a non-compete for the case of just having a non-compete clause in a contract, I agree with that one.
Yeah.
For people with pay above a minimum threshold set to a 6-month maximum term limit of which non-compete clauses can be enforced, instead of these bullshit waterfall clauses that you're seeing in contracts now, make the clauses that prohibit the solicitation of former co-workers unenforceable.
Mm.
That's interesting. I suppose that's a good one, actually. I don't mind that one. And make non-compete clauses and terms preventing the solicitation of former co-workers illegal to include in enterprise agreements.
Yeah. They do make sense, those recommendations.
They do. Like, you're seeing, like, personal trainers, shop assistants, they've all got non-compete. What a load of fucking bullshit in those types of things.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Right, my next one. Australia's job market is tighter than a fish's ass. Lauren?
Was that the actual headline?
No, I made that one up.
Oh, we had a little bit of ad-lib there.
Yep. From our good friends over at Indeed, by the end of 2023, job postings on Indeed were up 84% from pre-pandemic levels in Australia, which is well above the US at about 26% and the UK at 8%. At the same time, Australia's population of people aged 15 or over has increased by 3% over the past year. That's the biggest increase we've seen in 45 years and well above US, UK, in Canada. It partly reflects people returning to Australia after the pandemic, but also decisions to increase immigration to address widespread skill shortages, which made recruitment challenging. So the key takeaway here, even with the influx of working age immigrants, the Australian labour market is as tight as ever been over the past half a century. Employers need to bear that in mind to attract and retain talent. We've seen quite a few businesses getting rid of remote work because they don't want to deal with it anymore, and that's a mistake. Businesses that have 4 or 5 day a week in office mandates are potentially putting themselves at a distinct disadvantage in a competitive market for talent. And that shows through their data. So for more hiring trends and labour market updates, subscribe to Lead, which is Indeed's content hub. And we'll also plonk the link in the bio.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
So this low unemployment is going to stick around for a bit longer by the sounds of that.
I reckon so.
Well, all right, this is a headline. I just thought, this got me. This is a bit
all right,
of clickbait,
here we go.
A bit of clickbait without a Kardashian.
Oh, I love clickbait.
What are the most searched for jobs around the world?
What are the most searched for jobs?
This was in HRD. So, well, Amazon jobs.
Just with Amazon?
Well, that is the most one. So Amazon jobs are the most searched for roles on Google across the world, according to a new report by Pepper Monkey Media. Now, this is all on Google searches, what's searched the most. So Amazon job, virtual assistant, it goes list. HR comes in at number 8.
Mm.
Talent acquisition's not mentioned on the list. Ooh. But number 4 got me, flight attendant.
You used to be a flight attendant.
I know. Used to be a flight attendant back in the golden glory days.
The golden days of flying.
Yes, not now.
Pre free talkies.
Before they recorded the safety demo, when I actually had to remember the damn thing. But, yeah, that one shocked me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, isn't it? Like, flight attendant. It's and not having a crack, but it's almost like a glorified waiter in the air.
Yes, that's exactly what we used to be called and still do, apparently, even though we're there as safety officers. But, yeah, it's not like it used to be where you'd go off and be staying around the world and all those things. They turn you around, you're forever sleep-deprived, et cetera. That's what I find quite incredible, that people are actually out there looking for those jobs still.
Yeah, flying, I hate flying. And not really? Scared, I just hate the mundane boringness of sitting there for however long, and I guess the flight attendants
aren't sitting there bored as a bloody brain. They've got to do shit. You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot.
Oh, well, flight attendants it is then.
You're an absolute knob.
Hey, speaking of knob.
What?
No, it's not. Actually, that's not a lead-in, but from the Financial Times, some knobs read it, QuickTok is up and about and why young workers are refusing to leave their jobs quietly. This is one for the younger folk out there, Lauren.
Unlike you.
That's right. Young workers are increasingly sharing their quitting and layoff journeys on social media as they look to boost workplace transparency, the Financial Times reports. The trend, which has been dubbed QuickTok, has seen workers post videos of online calls in which they resign or are made redundant. Though some suggest that such loud quitting is evidence of a generational schism or alternatively a lack of willingness by younger people to face realities of work, this is absolutely false. Maya Karika, the Professor of Strategic Management at IESEG Paris, says.
What the fuck's that acronym stand for?
I don't know. I've got no idea. It's a long one. I think the videos like these are painful but necessary lesson to employers who see their staff as anything less than human, both during and at the end of employment. But Vicky Collins, an associate director at Blue Sky PR, says that some people should consider moving on without making such a scene on social media. What do you think, Lauren?
It doesn't worry me. It doesn't do anything. Doesn't affect my daily life. So it's just a generational thing. They do something differently.
I just saw Bonnie watching one on TikTok before.
That's a good question. Is Bonnie going to quit and do it on TikTok?
We'll find out when we're tagged in something.
Fucking hell. And,
but she said it was the one she was watching was a little bit cringy. So it was a bit.
Oh, God. So we're going to get ambushed one day of Bonnie on a bloody Zoom call with us going, hey, I quit.
Next thing I'm recording it.
You and I are all over fucking TikTok. They're going to call us Karen and Ken.
Oh, dear.
Well, this one got my blood boiling.
Oh, an angry post.
Oh, far out. I think every woman out there who's read this is blood was boiling. So the headline is, "This is the most terrifying job ad we've ever seen." I'm like, okay. And I'd seen it posted once before and about a few hours before this headline, but then it goes on that a job ad came up 5 days ago, 6 days ago, by a company. And in
do we know the name of the company? Are
yes,
we allowed
we
to
do.
Say it?
BMGMT Proprietary Limited.
BMGMT.
It's all over the media, so we've got no problem BMGMT. In saying that. So the opening lines, the first sentence to this job, for this role based in Sydney, we are seeking a driven and innovative narrative manager to spearhead our mass media strategy, inspired by methodologies similar to those used by the notable figures like Andrew Tate.
Notable figures.
Our goal is to dominate the digital landscape by creating and promoting and compelling content across various platforms, including blah, 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 blah. This role is not for the faint-hearted. It requires dedication, ruthlessness in execution, and a passion for digital storytelling.
Wow.
That one paragraph, there are like 75 red flags running across the screen.
So they're encouraging hate speech.
They
want to hire someone who is a great hate speecher.
Oh, my God. So the alarm bells that were coming to do this one, far out. It was a my dick is bigger than yours type candidate are going to be hitting this one up and running. But the way they've put it at a real macho, masculine, Andrew Tate-ish mass media strategy methodologies like Andrew Tate that are going to be ruthless and All of these types of things, and to dominate, that those words alone.
They've made a huge, huge error, haven't they? Now, for those of the, and perhaps the person who put it together didn't really know the background to Andrew Tate. Because, look, Andrew
who
Tate.
Who the fuck doesn't know who Andrew Tate is? You know, seriously.
Well, and let's be honest, you know, he's a classic misogynist, probably the biggest one in the last X number of years, says that
At the moment, he's awaiting trial in Romania for rape and sex trafficking. He has also got a case against him to be having extradited to the UK for similar charges. The man is the king of toxic masculinity online.
He brags about
He's a professional misogynist and professional asshole. I'm just going to throw in there as well. But a Google search shows that the company that posted this ad, MGD, whatever the bloody hell it is, an acronym, they have basically, their company is the number one modelling agency for girls looking to make full-time income online. So they're targeting an audience of women using Andrew fucking Tate.
It just beggars belief. I think
this company's also got about half a dozen jobs posted at the moment. So this BMGMT Proprietary Limited, I just feel that this company has not only missed the mark, I hope that people don't go applying for these jobs.
I wonder what their gender pay gap is. It'd be pretty high, you'd reckon.
If one would think so, or maybe women just don't get paid in their jobs in the kitchen if they're promoting Andrew Tate.
It's just horrible. And for that to slip through the cracks is, whew.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it slipped through a crack. I reckon it was done on purpose. It's got them there. It's got them the, the clickbaits and everything that everyone looking at. But is it going to get them people wanting to work with them?
Well,
because if I was a woman, I've just turned away from that brand.
So maybe, I guess, well, their clients are women, but they're clearly not trying to attract a woman for that job, are they?
Clearly not.
Weird.
Yeah, interesting.
We'll leave you to ruminate over that, people, while we go on to events.
Would you like to go first with you?
I shall. Sydney Talent Meetup is today, and I'm actually about to jump on a plane up to Sydney. I've packed my pants and my shoes.
Good. I hope you're wearing pants, actually, because you're only going up for the day.
And I'm not 100% sure whether they are oversubscribed or not, but jump on their meetup page just to check because it will be fabulous. We also then have the Adelaide meetup after Easter on the 9th of April. We've been promoting it the last few weeks as the 11th, but it is the 9th on the Tuesday.
They had a day changed because of the venue, yep. So that's fair enough.
So Radelaide is going to go absolutely crazy. All three of us are going to be there, including Bonnie, if she doesn't quit on TikTok prior.
And that's exactly right. If we don't get TikToked. But we'd even be bringing Harvey if they'd let us buy a seat for him.
It won't be long.
Oh, watch this space.
And do you want to go next with, or should I just talk about ATC conference?
Let's just talk about the ATC conference.
Okay. So ATC conference is the 14th and 15th of October in Fed Square in Melbourne. Early bird tickets are on sale now.
They are on sale now.
So just jump on the ATC website. What have you got, Lauren?
Well, I'm going to stick with the ATC right now. Now, they've just released the 2024 State of Talent Acquisition Survey. So everybody jump on that and have a look through that. We'll share that along LinkedIn as well over the next coming weeks. So that's a definite. Now, the ATC TA Brew for 2024 is Tuesday, the 26th of May. So get that into your diaries. We will be there at the Bonriggy Brew House again. So always a greater day, that one. I really enjoy that one. It's such a good event.
Wonderful.
Yeah, really good event. But my number one event.
Your number one event.
My number one event with a drum roll, please. Thank you. That's as good as I'm getting. Is the ITERS tickets are on sale. Yes, that's right, everyone. The ITERS 2024 at the Plaza Ballroom on the 5th of September here in Melbourne this year. We're back to good old Melbs. Tickets are on sale and they are flying out the fucking door.
Can you give an update? So we've got around probably about 400 people and already in, it's been going for like about a week, just over a week.
Yes, and I did a quick head count and we've sold to just over 230 tickets.
230, so we're already halfway done in a week. So do not sit on your hands.
No, when we say we're going to sell out, We sell out.
I reckon we're selling out by the bloody end of April, by the way.
I'm holding a few back for the nominations, obviously, but it's going to sell out.
It won't be enough for everyone.
That's exactly right. And we are going for the biggest attendance yet this year. We're going for 400. And we've also got nominations, I think 8th. Of next month, 8th of April?
Yes, 8th of April nominations will open. Hey, just on the is the after party organised?
No.
But we will get – there's something.
There will be after party we announced leading up to the – closer to the event as always. But we've got just about all of our entertainment booked. We are ready to go. The only thing not organised is Bonnie and my dress.
Oh. I've got my pants.
Yes, you do.
I've got a spare pair now.
You own two pairs of pants, Craig. Two pairs of pants. So there you go, everyone. You've got to get your tickets for ATC. You've got to get your tickets for ITERS, the TA Brew in Melbourne, which is a free event. You need to get your tickets for that, and you've got a survey to complete.
So
not much on your to-do list today, everyone.
Yeah, we've just added it to you for. Hey, that's about it for us, isn't it?
It is.
I better go and get on that plane.
You better get going, Tiger.
Okay, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.